something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Gordon Lightfoot pitches Bernie on an album of Canadian 90s tunes.
We play a new game called Heart Attack.
And whatever happened to Wheels' dad from Degrassi? We find out this time on TNT.
61, Roger Maris.
Is that his number?
No, that's when he broke the home run record.
For
61.
I like associating every number of every episode with some something. Sporting event.
Yeah, when you can, it's good.
I'd bring her golden frankincense and myrrh. She thought that I was making fun of her.
They used to sing so much slower.
That's like him in the office with Bernie trying to sell him like a new album of covers of Canadian
artists. She made me feel I was 14 again.
You can ask Bernie what he thinks of this concept.
Listen to this line, Bernie. That's why she thinks it's cooler if we're just friends.
And he gets asking Bernie, what do you think of these kids?
Bernie, can I ask you something? Do you happen to know if they're boys or girls with no clothes on? they call themselves the Bare Naked Ladies. Do you happen to know if they're boys or girls? They also do a cover of
he's heard a couple songs. I like this Jane song.
Yeah.
What's the first line?
Don't the hours grow shorter as the days roll by? Can't even stop and open our eyes.
Bernie's getting mad that he's doing other people's songs.
He's like, I have Bruce coming in here in 4 minutes, Gord. A point is forming on the horizon. You got to get to it, bud.
Yeah, Bruce is going to be here in an hour. Like, what's your point here?
Hey Bernie, check this out. Gotta kick out the darkness in the place that I heard. Hey, Bernie, when he says kick out the darkness till it bleeds daylight, what do you think that means?
He's just hanging out in the office all the time.
Gord, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Bruce is coming in here in 5 minutes.
Hey, Bernie, what do you think about me and Bruce doing a collabo?
And then Bruce asks him what new stuff he has, and then he plays Jane.
It's a cover record. You'll have to excuse me, I'm not at my best. Oh, got an ocean pearl.
Lightfoot does Canadian covers. Oh my god, that's great.
Thank you, India. Thank you, Tara. Thank you, Dave.
I would buy that record.
He's like, I like this Alanis.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frailty. Thank you, consequence.
Bernie's all, what's up with...
Thank you, Zahulans. Yes.
What's up with liking all these new artists here? What's going on, Gord?
New artists. Thank you's like 90s.
What are you gonna do? To do your show at Massey Hall? All these new songs?
I'd go see it though. Gord does the kids. Oh, that's not a good name. You know what I mean?
Locked in the trunk of a car.
Gord does the kids. Gord does the children.
Fully, completely by the Hip.
An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day.
Okay, so we're playing a game today.
Yes, it's called Heart Attack.
Yeah.
We both pulled clips of Canadian hearts. It could be, should we elaborate any more or just that it could be a heart? Let's not elaborate anymore so that there's a play along factor.
And you know, it's a heart attack, yeah.
There are a lot of Canadians with the last name Hart or Hart as part of their last name.
Yeah.
And so this is Heart Attack. We're going to play clips that have something to do with the word heart, and we have to guess. Heart Attack's kind of aggressive as a name for a game.
It is, but...
But it's like awareness. Attack of the heart
clips. Awareness, too. Be careful.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Don't go having a jammer out there shoveling the snow.
No, don't be. Even though we're gonna have a storm here, big time again today. I know I keep saying that every pod, but there's a doozy today for real.
Call in the army bot.
There are.
Call in the army bot.
You ever take the girls bowling?
No, we haven't yet. I don't think their hands are big enough.
No, they have the five pin.
Is that where you stick your digits inside it?
No, the little ball. It's just a pond, like a size of a, bigger than a softball.
See, there's one bowling alley in the T-Dot, and I don't think they have kid balls.
I bet you they do, or they have the small balls, and they put the borders on the side so they won't go in the gutter.
Oh, that's big fun.
Yeah, for the kids.
Why, did you take your monkeys bowling?
Yeah, for sure.
Are they into it?
They love it. They call it, when they were really young, they called it bawling.
Like mommy and daddy took us bawling.
We're going bawling.
So. I always like bowling, although I always wish that we had the Fred Flintstone styles, like three-fingered, big ball jobs. And we didn't ever have those in the Maritimes. Did you?
The 10-pin?
Well, we had the little handball and 10-pin, yeah. But we didn't have the, like, huge stick-your-fingers-in-it ABC Wide World of Sports bowling styles.
You never had that? Like,
the
bigger ball?
Did you?
Oh, yeah. When I lived, when you drive into Barrie or something.
No, we never had it.
I think Alliston back in the day had only the 5-pin.
We always only had 10-pin.
I remember my dad got all pissed off one day and walked home from there.
Because like, he wasn't bowling well?
And we lived in, we were acting up or something, and he got embarrassed and mad and left.
Aw. Acting up is...
Walking home like
so
10
retro.
Miles.
You guys are acting up. Yeah. Acting up and showing off. Our old school. You're
walking
acting
home.
Up right now.
Walking home when it's like, you know, the equivalent for you to go, 25 minutes into town or something.
And then zero just saying, F's given.
Fuck you guys and walking home.
So who drove you home? Burl? Or you guys were on your own?
No, she drove. My mom was there, yeah.
Conservatively, how many times has Ronnie walked out, left, shut the door, gone, either from home or from a public place?
He did it, I think, when he took the family to the original Superman movie.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
I think that kids were getting too fired up and couldn't deal with it.
Did you guys back your way in?
No. And then a couple concerts when the animals concert when the Alan Price guy kissed my mom and my sister like at by the bus and that.
Oh, he peaced out
on the cheek, and then I kissed my sister, and then my dad was like out of there, walked home all mad.
How old was your sister? Like, was it a cute, innocent kiss, or it was
like I don't know, 16 or something? Yeah, innocent for sure. Right, I think from what I remember.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. But he walked home from there.
How was the concert, Dad? Shut up.
I don't know. I don't even know what that how they found him because that was like an hour away.
Hitchhike.
How that ended up.
My dad used to pull the buy a few $100 worth of groceries for a family camping trip, and if they didn't have boxes to put it in, he'd just leave. Like that number. No, that's old school too.
Yeah, like.
Do you have boxes? No, actually, we don't. Then I'm not taking these groceries.
Even everything.
You have to be really committed to making a point if your point involves making your life harder as a result of it.
Yes.
Like Ronnie walking home from an hour away or however he got home.
Another time from like he walked, we lived up in Mansfield, which is like an hour drive from the city. He like the car broke down in Caledon, which is like, you know, 15 minutes north of the city. Not even halfway. And he ended up, like, instead of going to someone's house or trying to get a tow truck or something, he just walked home. And it was, like, starting to be another storm in the winter. Took him, like, 6 hours or something. Got home in a big rage and just went right to bed.
How could he still be in a big rage 6 hours later? You'd think that would have, like, calmed him down.
I know, but he went... Opened the front door, walked right to bed, and went to bed.
Do you have any of that?
No.
Like, when was the last time you were raging mad?
I don't know. I try not to get raging, but I...
Like, don't remember the last few seconds. I was so mad. Like, blackout mad.
I don't know. Blackout mad. Like if you get hurt or something, but not to anybody's fault. Maybe just yelling.
Yeah.
Hot. Yeah, a lot of yelling and being loud.
Just to lance the boil of tension and coat yourselves in the sebum of relief.
Yeah, for sure. Like when you fell flat on your back and threw out a sebum.
Yeah.
Just now you'll be like I Alan Doyled her though.
Yeah.
A lot of people are Alan Doyling them in this weather here.
Like living in the middle of a field for that reason. Because I like to sing really loud when I'm working around the yard. And I like to yell really loud when something happens, like I hit my thumb with a hammer or something.
Living in where you are in Truro, do you have the issue with the wind? When it gets bad, it gets really bad, eh?
It's really bad right now, the wind. But it was 16 degrees yesterday.
It's not going to blow anything down, is it?
No, there's nothing left to blow down. we spent, I don't know, 7 days building a funtorium, like a big two-level play deck, and it blew down. Like, the kids played on it 6 times.
Oh, I saw that. I was bumming. But can you get that back up in the summer?
I don't know. I was talking to a contractor guy who, and I think maybe the plan would be to put some heavier posts in the ground and affix the thing to the heavier posts. Because she's top-heavy, bud. She was top-heavy, and the wind took her right over. Hey, did you watch the Oscars ceremony?
I did. I saw most of it, yeah.
Let's start with the Chris Rock of it all. How do you think he did?
I think he did well. He was funny.
Yeah.
The whole concept and the Oscars so white thing, it was so evident throughout, and they really kind of talked about it beyond to the point where I didn't even understand. It was almost like, yeah, we're not doing it, but let's just talk about everything in black culture to the point of Public Enemies, Fight the Power, and the opening and closing credits.
Yeah.
I just didn't get that. I don't understand if that's like the, you know, organization just saying, yeah, this is how it is and screw you guys, or, you know, next time we're going to change things up, or is it really evidence of complete disapproval to African Americans? You know, it just becomes a big gray area that's awful, to be honest.
It is, and for what it's worth, the numbers, like ratings-wise, were the lowest they've been in 8 years. I mean, I'm not at the stage of my life where I'm going out to see a bunch of movies. I didn't see any of the movies nominated this year, and that's not a comment on any of them. It's more a comment on the stage I'm at in my life with young people at home and what have you. Sure. I could not have been less interested. And all I kept thinking was, Chris Rock got off some great jokes. I like that he shined a light on the issue and didn't shy away from it, as expected. I just was watching the tape pieces and thinking, the biggest show of the year, and presumably access to the best writers you can get, and that, like, the bit with Whoopi Goldberg showing up in a scene in a movie, and the woman whose name escapes me from SNL, who's an African-American woman, really funny. Like, on paper, the idea of, oh, you know what we should do? We should take black actors and scotch tape them into scenes in the year's biggest movies. That's a funny premise. Yeah. But, man, it was poorly written.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of that going on.
Oh, man. And even his Streeter Pack interviewing people in Compton, like, it wasn't as funny as it could have been. And, I mean, I know from experience, shooting Streeters and stuff is exhausting and ultimately not that rewarding, and it's panning for gold. But there weren't any real gold nuggets in what I saw.
Yeah, it just looked like a bad late-night show in terms of the length, and it was so long, it just made you feel like, what is going on here? Like, who cares? There was so many preliminary awards.
And I understand the idea.
Wow, man, like, you know, Mad Max are cleaned up, but it's like every technical award that there was.
I get, you know what I mean? Why it's, they have musical performances to break up the kind of monotony of awards and stuff, but it just makes for a longer night. And, you know, really, it's like a college basketball game. If you watch the last 10 minutes, you get the headline.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen much of the movies, to be honest. I did see Mad Max, but I didn't see too many of these movies, and I look forward to most of them, to be honest. That Spotlight looks pretty
cool. Yeah, looks great. Cool. Looks great. And I was really happy for Leonardo DiCaprio that he won, because...
Yeah, he did finally win. That's... You've seen him every year, and the social media side of it has become a whole other phenomenon, how huge it is.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of makes it more fun.
It does, for sure. Apparently there was, like, more tweets per minute ever in the history at that moment.
I saw that.
He was winning or something.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised. I mean, when you look at that guy's body of work from the time he was a teenager, like, pretty consistently diverse performances. Like, he has pretty incredible range. He was a young man playing Howard Hughes and pulling it off to boot. You know, one non sequitur for me didn't get it at all was when Stacey Dash, the woman from Clueless, came out to take a bow as the new, I mean, it was a bit, but it was like the Academy's new minority outreach officer or something.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I was really poorly done and bad taste. And
awful. Well, yeah. And I've kind of skimmed over a couple of things that suggest there's more to the story, like to understand why she came out on stage, read this article, and I just haven't yet. But yeah, it's a great reminder that if you're going to do a joke for the masses, you have to let people in, or at least give some remote context as to why you're doing that at that moment, right?
Yeah, and the whole thing was just, you could think that there wasn't a cause or a reason topically that wasn't brought up by somebody at some point to the point where it almost became too much, where you just, you felt like, okay, this person's coming on, they have to say something about something, or else, you know, what's the point?
Right.
And it just became really political, and when you have issues like that where it's supposed to be a celebration of entertainment, period, and if you know it's been going on for 80 plus years, it you gotta kind of appreciate it for what it is, even though there's all this stuff that they're not doing, but they never did do in the past. But
also, like, the sentiment of getting them to thank people that they ran in a scroll. Like,
yeah.
And that would have worked better had they not then just repeated that scroll when they got off to the mic.
And then they're knocking everybody off the mics whenever they're talking, period. Doesn't matter what they're talking about. And clearly giving certain people as much time as they want to talk.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a break, bud.
I got bored. I got real bored there, bud.
I got bored too. Tiger and Pitorins, on va prendre un petit break et on va retourner après cela.
What did Justin lift the axe, Chris?
We're back.
Numéro 61. Number 61. So the game is called Heart Attack. We're going to play clips for each other that we found on the internet service that involve the word heart somehow. Are all of yours Canadian?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, ish.
Ish.
Yeah. Like, they would meet CanCon regulations.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, who's going first? I feel like I always go first. You go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you go.
I feel like I always go first.
Well, I feel like I always play the clip first, so I feel like it's your turn.
No, I know. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
We're both Canadian. I've drawn an analogy to a hockey player. It's like you're playing for a team, and you may have your grievances and your gripes with management. You may have your petty complaints with your line mates who aren't passing you the puck. But basically, at the end of the day, you're not playing your best hockey. And when I'm in the studio, none of those things matter to me except the music that I'm doing. But once that's done, you need a team to go out there and spread the word and put the message across.
Oh. Okay. I found out who it was in the last word.
Sure.
Because of the way he said, across. But talking about hockey was a good red herring.
Yeah.
And he speaks differently than I have come to canonize him in my mind. That's Corey Hart.
Good job.
But as he was talking, I was thinking, is it like Art Ross? Like it sounds like Art Ross. Or I was trying to think of like hockey players with the last name Hart, because that was a good fake out.
Yeah, nice. Good one though.
Okay, you ready?
208 views, by the way.
Aww. 208.
One thumb up. Just playing. Aww. If we're still throwing in the analytics.
What a sin. Okay, you ready?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Coming at you.
Typical me that I went over there and recorded an album, and I hadn't written the first single yet. So I went over there, we did the whole record, and then I had this concept for something.
Any guesses?
Corey Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also Corey Hart on American Bandstand. Listen to it. This is a typical me. After he introduces the band, listen to what he says, because Dick asks him about so this Sunglasses at Night thing, how did that work? Listen.
Where's your hometown? Is it Toronto?
Montreal.
All right. This thing, the Sunglasses at Night, you had finished this whole album, then all of a sudden you decided to inject this into it?
Well, it's typical me that I went over there and recorded an album, and I hadn't written the first single yet. So I went over there, we did the...
How big a laugh does Corey Hart get at not writing the first single yet?
No, I know.
So.
And then he keeps going, doesn't he say, Sunglasses at Night?
Yeah, I had this whole concept for Sunglasses at Night.
Gotta play it.
He had this whole concept. Oh, I minimized it. Hang on.
Yeah, he's like, I had this whole concept.
Sunglasses I had this whole concept for Sunglasses at Night. He talks a bit more like Gino Vannelli than I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, typical me. I had this whole album written and I didn't have a single.
Okay, you ready for yours?
Yeah, hang on. I have this clip back. I want us to drill down on it a little bit.
What?
Hang on. Have to get past the commercial. Dick Clark is a bud, by the way. Were we talking about him?
I saw him go by on the escalator once.
Really?
That was it. Closest.
I had a really nice meeting with him. He was very kind and interested and all that stuff. Dick Clark is receiving.
Say like, oh, really? Okay, that's nice.
No.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, he was into it. He was into it in a big way. It was great.
Nice.
So first he's getting Corey to introduce the band. A couple of dudes from Toronto who you probably know. And here comes the where did you come up with the idea thing.
Is it Toronto?
Montreal.
All right. This thing, the sunglasses at night, you had finished this whole album, then all of a sudden you decided to inject this into it?
Well, it's typical me that I went over there and recorded an album, and I hadn't written the first single yet. So I went over there, we did the whole record, and then I had this concept for Sunglasses at Night, and I went back to Montreal and I wrote the record. And I
this must have been a great joy to the record company, the producers and everybody.
We had a couple of songs on the record that we felt confident about, but this song was so powerful when I wrote it that I felt we had to do it.
Did you have a hassle over it?
He felt they had
no,
to do
they
it.
Were real blind.
That was like some backtracking, like, oh, I guess I could be saying we don't have singles other than this. So I got, whoa.
The funny thing is...
Got to save it, Corey.
Typical me. He's saying typical me as though Dick Clark would know that. He's a new guy with a new single for the first time on Bandstand.
Yeah.
Typical me.
Yeah, he's...
Ladies and gentlemen of the...
Oh, there's my next one!
Oh, okay. I didn't hear enough of it. Don't worry.
Okay, I'm going to hit go then. It's 1-1 because we both got...
Okay, you're just starting right. The next one? Okay.
Yeah, here comes your next one.
Ready, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm just a caveman. I fell in some ice and later got thawed out by some of your scientists. Your world frightens and confuses me.
How much do you love that?
I love it. Phil Hartman.
Unfrozen caveman lawyer.
One of the best skits ever.
I don't even know if they did it more than once.
I don't think so, but it's just classic.
I'm just
a caveman.
It's so high concept. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, your honking horns frighten and confuse me.
He kind of started the whole Geico thing.
Yeah. And sometimes they make me want to get out of my BMW and run for the hills. Let's listen to some more.
Sometimes the honking horns of your traffic make me want to get out of my BMW and run off into the hills or whatever. Sometimes when I get a message on my fax machine, I wonder, did little demons get inside and type it? I don't know. My primitive mind can't grasp these concepts.
Gone too soon, man.
My primitive mind can't grasp this thing.
He was so next level funny. And not even... it's funny, we haven't talked about him much on the pod, but he was such a utility guy to have on your bench. Like, he took news radio... And made it, like, worth watching.
For sure. Guess what clip I had lined up.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
No. I'm just a caveman. It would be funny if you'd gotten it wrong.
He's got, like, 1983 meddler hair.
Yeah.
With a huge Cro-Magnon brow.
It's actually pretty good makeup, considering how long ago it was.
It's awesome.
34,000 views.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm just a caveman. Let's ride it through to the end, because it's almost done.
But there is one thing I do know. When a man, like my client, slips and falls on a sidewalk in front of a public library, then he is entitled to no less than $2 million in compensatory damages and $2 million in punitive damages. Thank you.
He's also just such a solid actor. Like, he never winks the bit.
He's not looking at cards either.
No.
Ever. He's already got everything done. He's all set.
There's some hacky card reading going on these days.
Well, it's just totally accepted now. Like, I don't know if they just rewrite everything so much. Probably right before the thing, they change your line.
He's somebody that I bet if he was still around would have started to act in dramatic roles and blown people away. Because he's one of those guys that could go both ways for sure. Do you know what I was watching? I was showing the girls goo, 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 goo,
goo. Bobby McFerrin?
Yeah, but Robin Williams is in that video.
Yeah, I know. You don't remember that?
I'd forgotten that. And he's just yeah. being so silly.
Yeah, he's probably all fired up on goofballs.
Well, it was actually the first time through the whole Robin Williams thing. Like, it was obviously a loss, and the circumstances around it were sad, and there's no question he was a gigantic talent. But it was the first time since that I've seen him in something and thought, oh, man, the world really lost.
Hugely.
Lost out when he ended things the way he did. Yeah. But there's such a twinkle in his eye in that video, and he's having so much fun and just being such a nut job that it was really fun to watch.
That's another one of those people where you hear stories of people seeing that they met him and he was exactly like he is
yeah.
on TV.
Yeah, doing 12 minutes of stand-up for one person yeah. in a donut shop.
Go. I don't think he can do – yeah, I think that was it. That was the way he was, just on –
too bad. But,
and you're on.
But I guess to bring it back to Heart Attack, Phil Hartman was pretty content being a supporting guy. And that says a lot about him too. Like, he wasn't didn't really seem to clamor for the spotlight or anything. Like, yeah. led a pretty low-key life and just killed it week in and week out on that show.
For sure. Is it you or is it me now?
I don't know. I went, and then you went, because you played Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer, too. So should
no, that's here's mine, for real.
Okay.
I think you're so smart, but aren't you the guy that picked Saskatoon, Saskatchewan? Don't you think that you could have picked a better yeah. place, knowing that the one spot in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, would be the place for me to redeem myself after SummerSlam?
That's Bret the Hitman Hart.
Yeah, for sure.
Funny, because I had a Bret clip, too.
Oh, of course.
Here comes your Bret clip.
There was two sort of things going on at the same time. I felt that upper management wasn't treating me right. That I was sort of, you know, yesterday's news for them, which I didn't think was fair. I thought I had a lot of...
Bret the Hitman Hart was on Jonavision, and he was a perfect gentleman and total pro and happy to be there and all that stuff. In researching clips for this game, a lot of the clips around Bret Hart have to do with the incident in Montreal, like the switcheroo or the screw job. Do you know what happened?
Well, he thought he was going to win, but he lost. Like, the referee counted him out or something. They changed the script or whatever.
Without telling him?
Yeah, so he lost his thing, and then, I don't know, I guess McMahon had an issue with him. Something like that.
Wow.
And it socked him, right?
They docked him?
No, Bret Hart went in and socked at Jim McMahon, or whatever the hell his name is.
Vince McMahon? Did he really?
Vince McMahon, he went and popped him. Here's some more Bret Hart.
When you step in the ring, and it's plain and simple, a case of black and white, and we're going to make a serious,
serious dent in your bank account, right, Virg? And then Yossi, you can think.
Virgil and Bret Hart.
I did a story for Street Sense about The Undertaker one night at the Halifax Forum. And he got off stage and walked out of the arena with Paul Bearer down a hall and into a taxi. Still in costume, ready to go. Got in a taxi and went to the hotel.
Come on.
It is, what a weird world that is.
With the little guy, the Paul Bearer guy?
Yeah. Ooh, we were doing some research in the Trailer Park Writers' Room on Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
That guy was filthy.
Yeah, he partied.
He partied, and little things you don't think about, given his, was he 700 pounds? He couldn't use the toilet in hotels, so yeah. He would often use the tub.
Fire in the tub, yeah.
And he'd use the curtains as toilet paper.
Oh, there you go.
And he would order, I don't know, 20 bottles of wine and 8 steak dinners and 15 things of spaghetti. And yeah. A few times during fights, he would check the oil of his opponent, which is when he shoved his not insignificant thumb into the rectum of the guy he was fighting. Can you imagine?
That was part of his shtick?
He was like sitting on them, and he'd check their oil while he was sitting on top of them.
Oh, my God. That's fun. That is so greasy.
It's so greasy. Like, and that's a funny joke to him. Like, imagine
that finger, though.
It was a thumb. It'd be the size of a corn on the cob.
His thumb is like a massive pickle.
Well, and in addition to checking the oil of unsuspecting wrestle mates, he would also not shower for days on end and sit on their heads. That's not sports entertainment.
Get an Andre the Giant's thumb up your ass.
That's awful. Checking your oil.
Let me check your oil.
I checked your oil. Because Randy checked someone's oil in season 9 of Trailer Park. That's where it came from. Yeah, he checked his oil. And that's where it came from.
That's up there with Scared an Egg.
Yeah. That's checked your oil. One. It's terrible. Andre the Giant. That's gross, though. Like, imagine cleaning that room.
No, imagine him sitting on you and you're like, I can't, there's no chance of moving, and then he does that to you?
Yeah.
That's not what you sign up for.
No, that's not what you want. That's not what you want. Do you have any more clips?
Yeah, I got this one here.
One of the most fun events of my life was serving as godmother to Oceana Cruises Marina. Since that day, I've had the pleasure of getting to know the ships.
Mary Hart. As the people of Oceana Cruises. Mary Hart. I'm thrilled to share both with you,
right? That's it. You got it.
Didn't she have her legs insured for $1 million?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, she's the one that Alan Thicke said was open for business. She was open for business.
She was selling cheap purses.
I have another clip for you, and it's okay. It's ground we've covered before, but more of the "This Guy's a Genius." Listen.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such nature films as Earwigs, The Revenge of Abe Lincoln, The Erotic Adventures of Hercules, The Wackiest Covered Wagon in the West, Alice's Adventures Through the Windshield Glass, They Came to Burgle Carnegie Hall. 2 - 3 = -1.
That's great.
I wonder how many of those are written and how many of those are improv'd. I'm going to guess. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to guess that most of them are written.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he was an improv. Maybe he was.
How could he not be?
But he's, I don't know, he's just such a gifted performer.
Okay, you ready for your next one here?
Yes.
Heart attack?
Yeah.
And and I couldn't believe it, you know, because I was used to sort of dingy little rehearsal rooms in East London. So I thought, this is really eccentric. This is different kind of stuff. You know, this is different from the bands I've been in. I'm going to try and get this gig. So I played. They played like a selection of all the fast bits, slow bits, complicated bits, jazzy bits.
You know who that is?
It's Phil Collins.
Yeah.
But what does that have to do with Heart?
Nothing. I just thought it'd be funny to have Phil Collins.
Oh my God. Have you seen Phil Collins perform in the air tonight with his kids' high school band?
Yes. Yeah.
It's
really bad.
It lacked a little something.
Yeah.
Dibum ba da ba ding ba dum doogie doogie boom pasha. All right, here's yours, and it's kind of a trick one. You ready?
Like Phil Collins?
Not that tricky. It does have to do with Heart, but maybe it's Heart in French.
You've nailed every one, by the way.
Have I? Here you go.
I was born and raised in Montreal, so I think it's normal for people to move at one point. I was thinking about Paris for a long time, and then Paris, like, it's way too far from Montreal. It's too far from home. So Toronto is a little bit like home, but not really. And it's cool here. I like the
heart.
It's a female heart.
Heart in French. Think what is it? Eye patch and heart.
Avril?
No. Heart.
What?
It's the worst clue ever.
Who is it?
She has heart, matey.
I don't know.
Cœur de pirate.
Who?
Cœur de pirate.
Who is that?
Beatrice Pirate.
That's who that was?
Yeah.
How the hell am I supposed to know who that
is? Cœur in French is heart, and I thought heart sounded like a pirate.
I know, but who was it again?
Cœur de pirate.
Yeah, who the hell is that? Never heard of that person.
Beatrice Martin. I guess you have to hear of them to be able to guess them. That's fair. She's doing well. She's like selling out Soft Cedars and stuff.
What, like now?
She's a thing, yeah. I don't know. Heart. Let's take a break on TNT 61.
What's more her to name come. Again?
Stay with us. Beatrice Martin. We'll be right back.
Where's my beer chair?
And we're back.
Hey, bud.
Hey, well, check this out here. This is a classic commercial.
I was adopted. My parents are so boring.
Being adopted never bothered Wheels until his natural father came back.
I'm your dad.
What'd you come back for?
I care about you.
Yeah, right. You care about me so much you got rid of me?
And now he questions his adoption. Degrassi Junior High, right after King Nelly over...
What? What?
How awesome is that?
I have so not many only questions. Is it
it's a CBC commercial, but it's the episode where Wheels' dad comes back.
When did Kate and Allie air on CBC?
1987.
Who was doing the voiceover? Because that guy was rad.
Yeah, well, that sounds like familiar. That guy was probably the guy they had forever.
And I think we need to listen to it again. And who played Wheels' dad? Because I care about you.
Mike Nelson, that guy?
I care about you.
Okay. Yeah, okay, here we go.
I wish I was adopted. My parents are so boring.
Being adopted never bothered Wheels until his natural father came back.
I'm your dad.
What'd you come back for?
I care about you.
Yeah, right. You care about me so much you got rid of me?
And now he questions his adoption. Degrassi Junior High, right after King Nally over most stations. Best on the Box, Monday on CBC Television.
Best on the Box.
I care about you.
Yeah. I'm your dad.
That's not... I mean, obviously it's not Mike Nelson who's Sloan's road guy.
No, I think that's the name of the act, the character. Is
wow.
I think.
That's bananas. So you just found that in the margin?
Found that in the middle of like a Canadian TV commercials from 1987.
Wow, did you search Canadian TV commercials from the 80s?
I was just looking for retro Canadian TV, and then that came up, like, through a search of other, through other things. I found commercials, and then...
That's like of the Bacon Gotcha ilk.
Retro Sask. Yeah, it's crazy. The commercials are all... It takes you right back.
Do you remember the commercial? I think it was for O. Henry with an electric violin.
Oh yeah, yes, I remember that.
I like that. That was mind blowing because I didn't even know they made such a thing.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm just looking, sifting through this one here, and it's like, yeah, they're ridiculous.
Okay, here's a concerned children's advertisers PSA called Don't Put It In Your Mouth.
What?
It's called Don't Put It In Your Mouth.
Wow.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Concerned children's advertisers, Don't Put It In Your Mouth. Here it is.
Why do you think your mommy or daddy are always telling you, don't put that in your mouth? Let's find out.
Hi, kid.
Why are we on television anyway?
We're here to tell a little story about why you shouldn't put things into your mouth when...
What the hell? That's insane.
Do we even go any further?
I don't even know what the hell's going on.
Okay, hang on.
You don't know what they are, and why you should never take anything a stranger tries to give you.
Why not?
Because if you ate somebody else's medicine, some bad food, or some poison, you could get very sick.
Ugh, I don't want to be sick.
And that's why before you eat anything, you should always ask someone you love if it's okay.
Okay, I love you. Can I eat the guitar?
No.
Bits.
Whoa.
I don't remember anyone leaving poison lying around in the early 90s.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, go to your bod's house. Oh, yeah. Wow.
What's that? Oh, it's just poison. By the way, 1.5 million views of Don't Put It In Your Mouth. I feel like they're about to start singing a song. I think we should hang in there.
Oh. But you can help me sing a song about eating things that don't belong inside you.
Okay, oh, I wasn't really hungry anyway. Well, wait, maybe a little bit.
Okay, everybody, if you see something that you want to eat before you do anything, remember this song.
Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you stuff it in your face. Don't stuff it in your face. Though it might look good to eat. Though it might look good to eat. And it might look good to taste.
Oh my gosh.
That was a big hit somewhere.
Apparently.
Canadian free trade debate with two outspoken Canadians meeting head to head on a contentious issue before a panel of seasoned journalists.
If you sell off your land and if you sell off your water, well, you might as well just go and run up American flags all across the damn country.
I don't want to sell my country out. I want to find the path that is best for my country.
Tonight at 10.
What is that?
Big liberal debate.
About what? Like acid rain and the war in the Falkland Islands?
The Great Canadian Free Trade Debate.
It was a great debate. I'm going to tell you something.
What?
Donald Trump is going to win.
You just think it's the out of control, like the madness?
Well, it's not cute anymore, and no, I was holding out hope for him to say, like, okay, that was fun, I was just messing with you guys, but he's not. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And there's, I don't know. I mean, I can't think of a more shit-hitting-the-fan situation than him becoming president of the States.
Can you think of two more polar opposite humans than Trump and Hillary?
I don't even know. I don't know.
Or Killary, as he calls her?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's nuts because I'm not crazy about her either, you know, but obviously she's way more seasoned and more normalized in the idea of being able to do that job. In my opinion, like, I think she probably has the best experience, but I feel also she probably has hidden agendas
I'm but, sure. I
mean, they always do, generally.
Well, people are kind of, in a weird way, making the same argument about Trump that they did for Trudeau, which is he did it so on his own terms that he hasn't had to make deals with anyone. He hasn't taken money from anyone, so he hasn't been bought. And that's what they said about Trudeau. The Liberal Party was in such a terrible place when he took it over. He didn't cash in any favors because there weren't any to be cashed.
Yeah. Well, I think people, if they want to be ignorant, then they can... They should. They deserve it. If most people want him to be there, then they deserve to see the actuality of that decision and not the false kind of thought of everything being perfect.
Well, I was in Texas the second time Bush was elected, and in Canada, we had been perceiving it as not even a race of any kind, let alone the fact that Bush could even be a contender the second time around. And then he won. And people in Texas were like, well, yeah. It is a very unique place. And the possibility really exists that Donald Trump could win the election. Which I'm sure, like, I'm sure the SNL people would be happy about that. But the United States of America? Yeah, he's such a buffoon.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be the beginning. I don't know. It depends. I think it's more a question of what's America going to be 50 years from now. Because of
scary to even think about, but
yeah, like just all the corporate entities that have moved away in terms of where everything is made, and it's just such an empty hole of like opportunity lost, you know what I mean? The idea. And the only thing that was great about America 50, 40 years ago was just there was more employment, and across the board, everybody had an opportunity to pay their, you know, mortgage on a house, and things were readily available, and there was jobs for everybody, and you could actually buy a house when you worked somewhere. Didn't have to be a doctor or a lawyer. But at the same time, the segregation, and not as much in Canada as America, but there were issues with that as well to parallel the, you know, dire consequences of just North American society for the last 100 years anyway, you know?
I thought that
good
was
business for a bit, and there was opportunity for people, but it wasn't, I mean, now it's just those corporate entities have grown up so much and taken the money elsewhere or taken their own money.
I thought that was very clever social commentary by Chris Rock to say they didn't protest over the lack of diversity in the 60s because they had other more pressing issues to protest. That was really smart.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's no question Chris Rock is a very smart guy. And a good comedian, that's for sure.
No, I thought he did a pretty good job.
What about again, Sarah Silverman? Did you find that funny or no?
I don't know. I find her, I'm not a big fan. I find her more offensive than funny. You know what I mean?
She's the pirate, am I right?
I love that kind of thing and being harsh and criticism, but when you're relying on racism and just basic, it's always about race or religion or a type of person, or, you know, something has to be belittled for the joke to come out of it. You know what I mean? And I'm not a big fan of that style.
Well, someone made the point this morning about Trump that where Obama had united the country, Trump is kind of celebrating the fracture again.
Yeah.
Like, do we want to be like those goofs over there? Do we want to be like these idiots?
Yeah. Losers.
That's these bunch of losers over there. Let's take a quick break on TNT 61, and we'll be back to wrap her up, bods. Hang on.
Fucking right, eh?
And we're back.
You are maybe one of Canada's foremost authorities on wheels.
Not really. Some I've met some people that know way more than I do. I just think that that episode of his dad coming back and then him going to see his dad in Port Hope is just cracked me up as a kid. And for some reason, I've always thought it was just such a dark situation, you know, that fact that he goes by himself and he doesn't know he's coming to see him, Wheels' dad, and he gets like Wheels gets like assaulted on the way there by because he's hitchhiking by some creep.
Man, he had a rough go.
Well, Wheels. It's classic Degrassi though with the writing, right? Always the worst case scenario,
right?
His parents die because they go out and they get hit by a drunk
so
driver.
In this very special episode, Wheels hitchhikes to Port Hope.
Yes.
And what happens?
He goes to visit his dad because he got a postcard from his real dad saying he had a gig in Port Hope and everything's great, but he took it upon himself to invite himself to Port Hope without his dad knowing. So here
he is. Surprise is a bad idea.
Here he is going up to the hotel room to say hi for the first time. He's going up the stairs at the little B&B that he's staying in and playing at. Wheels' dad. Going up to the greasy... It's not too greasy. It's a stately B&B. Room 7.
Who is it? It's me, Derek.
Derek, hey, I missed you, man. What are you doing here?
I sort of run away. Too many hassles, right?
Too many hassles, right?
Still play bass?
Yeah.
Far out. You can practice with us. Maybe you can be our bass player.
Great.
Good to see you, big guy.
Really? Because I was kind of worried you wouldn't want to see me.
You kidding me? We belong together. Ever since your parents died, I wanted you here. From now on, you and me against the world, okay?
Yeah, okay.
This is the big
what
dream sequence before the door knock, actually. The big dream, what he wants.
Do you know what the worst part is?
What?
The worst part is but I was just thinking about you. This is great.
Yeah.
It's such a lie.
I know, but now here's the real story. A real knock. Not dreaming.
It's me, Derek.
Derek. What are you doing here?
I came to see you.
Shirt's off with the towel around him.
Where's your parents?
They're dead.
Jesus.
They got killed in a car crash last fall.
Sorry. I didn't know.
Where are you living? With my grandparents.
What are you doing here?
Awkward city.
I came to see you.
Got the girl in the room?
Wait downstairs.
Shuts the door. I'll be down in a while.
Wheels' dad is about the greasiest.
He's awful.
He's terrible.
Where's your parents? They're dead.
No way.
Oh, I didn't know.
He doesn't even... I don't know if he's a worse character or actor.
Well, it's worst dad. In history of mankind, which is...
I didn't realize that it was the dream scenario and then the truth scenario.
Yeah, the first one you think, oh, wow, that's weird. And then reality hits. He's got the towel around his no shirts.
So Wheels' dad is playing in a cover band. And so Wheels thinks you're actually doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Nelson's band, the cover band, are there for the week. So that's a big gig.
I want to find the name of the actor who played Wheels' dad. Because you said... Huh?
I'll find that for you.
Full cast.
Full cast?
I'm just looking for full cast of Degrassi Junior High. I don't know if he'll be there.
Dave James.
That's the actor's name?
Yep.
I want to know what else Dave has done.
Dave James. Dave played the Duke on Kids of Degrassi Street and Mike Nelson Wheels Bio Pops.
Dave James. Yeah. He was only in 3 episodes of Junior High.
Yeah, well, he was in the first Kids of Degrassi Street. And then he was in 2 Degrassi Junior Highs and then a Degrassi High.
Dave James was born in Halifax.
Yeah. That's why he's a boat.
It might be. Yeah, you're right.
He's a bod.
So he was in... Yeah, he is a bod. I feel bad now even saying anything bad about him. He was... Yeah, you're right. He was Duke in Kids of Degrassi Street, and then he was Mike Nelson. But then... That was 1989, and then his next part was in 1995.
Yeah, there's a big... The original... One, he's coming to see Wheels before when he has the parents and everything's all good. But then Wheels goes to see him after when he's had the big bout with his parents dying and stuff.
Dave?
And then he gives him the brush and the taking off episode. 2 parts.
How do you remember that?
Because I've looked it up. I've seen that on the YouTube. I was just looking at it. The taking off episode.
Could Neil Hope actually play drums?
No, but this guy, what's his face? Dave.
Yeah. He could actually shred pretty good.
Dave James was an actual drummer, yeah, for sure.
He could shred pretty good.
Yeah, he was probably in a band, too.
I wonder what band.
You should find out. You gotta dig it around, dig around in Halifax.
What band was Dave James in? Dave James drummer.
The Dave James band. Are you looking it up?
Yeah. DaveJamesDrummer.com.
No.
Well, wait a minute. This says he was born a Taurus in the midst of the iconic 60s in Ontario. Dave. We have to get to the bottom of this. Here's a quote. Rhythm comes from the heart, for there you'll find the beat. David James.
Were you looking at the IMDb? That's what I was looking at.
I was looking at the IMDb, but now I'm on DavidJamesDrummer.com.
And is that him, though?
Oh, my gosh. Listen. Born a Taurus in the midst of the iconic 60s in Ontario, Canada, growing up in the GTA, harbored dreams of becoming a professional musician, recording, touring, and performing with the best. Living that reality, adding confident experience and energetic dynamics to the mix of great musicians on stages across the country. Now back and now playing, the title of my second video since my return, after a lengthy personal hiatus, will be coming out soon. Returning to the industry, bringing my A game, EH game, and better than ever, proud to be Canadian. Life is good.
I don't think that's the same guy, though. That's a different guy.
That's not weird. What are the odds that there would be 2 David James drummers, though?
Well, because the Dave James drummer and the thing is more an actor, I think.
Listen, David James the drummer goes electric.
Don't you think he would have mentioned the acting in his bio if he was in Degrassi?
This is the beat of the week with David James, who's going electric on the Roland TD-20X.
He's just laying into things.
David James is a beast.
Oh, wow.
And David James has candles lit by his kit.
Sure he does. All right, that's enough. We're going to...
Look at those tom runs. Is that what that's called?
Well, he's just shredding it up.
Yeah. The only electric drum set worth considering, according to David James, is the Roland TD-20X. No question.
Gotta get them, eh?
I'm so confused about all the David James of it all.
I know that that's not the same guy.
All right.
And I think what happened is the actor guy has kind of taken a low profile since the 80s.
Let's make it our mission, because somebody who listens to the podcast knows where David James Wheels' dad is. Yeah. Yeah. Someone also knows David James' beat of the week from David James' drummer, David James.
Where's that guy from? He's not Canadian either.
He grew up in Ontario in the iconic 60s.
That's right, the iconic 60s.
Last week we left you with a Burton video. This week we're going to leave you with David James Goes Electric.
Oh, no.
Might be Wheels' dad, but probably not. At all. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week for episode 62. Hey, by the way, good for us for getting a new one out every week, bud.
That's right. We're on a roll, bud.
And we leave you with David James Goes Electric. Wait now. David James, drummer.com. It's like a Windham Hill sampler. Talk to you next week, bud. Ding-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang-gang